All right, and with that,
perfect timing, Daniel.
All right, so I will call this meeting of the IWMA to order, and we'll start with roll call.
Mr. Barbeau?
Here.
Ms. Edwards?
Here.
Mr. Enns?
Here.
Mr. Hammond?
Here.
Ms. Marks?
Here.
Ms. McCory Driscoll, taking place of Mr. Robert today?
Here.
Mr. Newton?
Here.
Mr. Paulding?
Here.
Mr. Guthrie?
Here as well.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. If y'all rise with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And with that, we'll move to the Executive Director's Report. So this is the place in the agenda for public comment on any items not on the agenda.
We did receive a written public comment that was distributed via email to all the board members, and I have a copy here as well if anyone would like a printed one.
Does anyone want it read or anything like that? Okay. With that, we'll move to the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Vice President Guthrie. As you can tell, we're here. We are at 555 Churro. We've actually made the move. We're all staff is in this building. We're still in the process of doing some updates and some changes as we go on. But for the most part, it's been very workable for us. We've had the trees trimmed. A couple things have been caught up, so we're starting to make some progress. The big news is SB 54 was delayed by Governor Newsom. SB 54, as you remember, is the single-use plastics ban where it was requiring that 65% of all plastics be recycled by 2030, I think it was. He kicked it back to the rulemaking process. He got a lot of pressure from the from a couple of different sources. One of them was the plastics industry, and the other one was from the Circular Alliance, which is the PRO that was managing this program for CalRecycle. The PRO hired Rachel Mokey Wagner, who was the former director of CalRecycle, and they brought her in. She has close relationships to the governor, and there's a lot of belief that that was part of the challenge where she came in and she said that they're just not ready yet. So it'll go back into the rulemaking process for one more round. The law stays in effect, and the timelines all stay in effect, but the challenge is now all of a sudden they've shortened that window for implementation, and so it's going to be a bit more of a challenge. Our video outreach update, we're going to start production not next week, but the week after. They're coming up here to start doing some shootings. We've got our facilities lined up. We've got our locations all set up, so we should have some production pieces coming online pretty quickly. And our waste characterization study starts next week. So they're going to be out at Cold Canyon for 2 days, up at Chicago Grade for a day, and out at Paso Robles Landfill for a day. And they'll be taking a look at typically 10 loads out for each day, trying to get a good characterization of what our waste characterization looks like for everything from commercial, residential, and multifamily. And the intent upon that is to make sure that when we're being compared to the rest of the state of California through the eyes of CalRecycle, that we have the ability to actually have solid data to back up any claims that we make about what we can and what we cannot do. And then the next thing on this is Chicago Grade has reached out to me about relocating the HHW site. So as you may remember, Chicago Grade came in for a non-facility disposal element change that made their landfill also a transfer station. And within that scope of their master plan, they're moving the public dumping area to an area down below, so they'll have a much more similar resource recovery park like they do out at Cold Canyon Landfill. And within that resource recovery park, they want to relocate the household hazardous waste facility. So that's another project that'll be coming online here probably in the next couple of months. It's not a large effort because the facility is already in existence. fundamentally, all we're doing is creating a new position for it, so it's mostly just concrete and then some road work to give us an all-weather surface. And that concludes my executive director report for today. Is there any questions?
Yeah, questions, Jim. Peter, on the waste character, do they do any construction material waste?
They'll look at some of the C&D material, but that's not specifically what we're aiming at. We have a pretty good understanding of what's in that material. What we don't understand is what's in our MSW. And so that's the area we're looking at. But we can definitely adjust it to look at a couple of them. Their intent is to basically do an eyeball look at a couple of the C&D sites. Because C&D is pretty... it's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is coming in the gate. If somebody comes in and takes and blows a building down and stuffs it into an end dump, it's hard to recycle. But if it's separated at the job site, then it's easy to recycle.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you for your concern, though.
Okay, thank you.
I'm glad you can speak for him. So two questions. One question and one comment. So when we're doing the relocation of the HHW site at Chicago Grade, is that already in our budget?
Yes and no. We have allocated $438,000 for capital improvements for HHW sites. And so this is just concrete and asphalt work. It's not the actual hard structure. So if we don't, we will put this into the budget as we come forward. So we're going to take a look at where we are budgetarily. I'll get the numbers pulled together, and it will be something that will come forward in your next budget item as capital improvements, because these are capital improvements.
Okay. And then for the public who's watching, would you give a brief explanation of why we're here at 555 Cheryl instead of where we normally meet?
Sure. Typically, we would be at the County Government Center and the Board of Supervisors Chamber, but the County Assessor's Office had precedence on, they were doing their public hearings on assessment appeals in that building, and they had their docket was full throughout the week. Then our two backup buildings were taken. They were also filled for training. Ludwig was taken. I mean, you go down the list. So we got down to where it was either here or outside someplace.
And so we checked the weather and met
inside. Since they trimmed the trees, we do have a drip. But at least it's mostly dry inside.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, we will move on to the consent agenda.
Mr. Chair, I did have a question of follow-up. I don't know if you mentioned what the cost would be. The question was asked about the money. The $438,000 budgeted, that's so large because of the San Miguel site that we're seeking to add?
Yeah, the San Miguel site, because you're at San Miguel, you're not just doing concrete and asphalt. You're also buying the actual HHW buildings and the oil tanks and the storage lockers.
Right, because normally we aren't budgeting a lot of money for new HHW stuff. And what would be, I forget if you mentioned, what would be the cost of this relocating at Chicago Grade?
Well, I'd be guessing, but Director Newton's probably got a better understanding on what an eight-inch concrete slab would look like. But my bet is it's going to be about $45,000 to $50,000 to put the slab in.
And the existing HHW site there, did we pay for that?
Oh, we did. Yes, but in our agreement with the landfill, when we relocate, we forfeit those improvements.
Okay, I'm just wondering, like, you know, we build something and a couple years later they go, oh, we need you to move, and you know, we're forced to build a new thing. Now it's my concern is that we've been there a long time though, right?
This particular site's been there about 20 years.
Okay. So it might be considered depreciated, I guess.
It's pretty flat.
I'm just concerned about these sites forcing us to move at their convenience and then, you know, in putting a cost on us.
Yeah, no, I understand. And that's something to be concerned about because when the agreements were originally written, you know, our lease was $1 a year to function at these sites. And so if you look at $1 a year over the course of 20 years, we got a pretty good deal out of it.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly.
Any other questions? All right, then with that, we'll move on to the consent agenda. So any questions or comments on the consent agenda? Okay, we usually do questions first, but all right. So with that, I'll ask any questions from the public on the consent agenda items. Seeing none, I will bring it back to the board for...
Chair Guthrie. Hammond would like to move to approve consent items 5, 6, and 7.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. If we could have roll call.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Borbo?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Ms. McCory Driscoll?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
And Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Thank you. And with that, we'll move on to the regular public agenda and ask for public comment on any of items 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
We did receive a secondary written public comment that was dispersed via email, and I also have a printed version for all board members and public. Just raise your hand if you would like one, please.
Okay, and with that, I'll close public comment and move on to item 8, technical assistance grant for grant application for Mr. Turtle.
Okay, so this is item number 8, a technical assistance grant for Mr. Turtle. The recommendation is you authorize the executive director to award $10,000 in grant funds to Mr. Turtle to build 10 new refill stations for cleaning products that will be distributed across San Luis Obispo County and foster source reduction and recycling in the waste stream. On December 4th, 2024, the IWMA received the technical assistance grant application from Mr. Turtle with the following project description. Mr. Turtle is a sustainably focused company dedicated to reducing single-use plastic waste through innovative refill stations for cleaning products. With funding, we aim to build 10 new stations across San Luis Obispo County. Oopsie. And scaling our efforts to provide accessible, eco-friendly alternatives and foster source reduction in the waste stream. And with that, we have a representative from Mr. Turtle that's going to give a presentation.
Yeah, hello, thank you so much. My name is Benjamin Arts, and my two co-founders joining me today are Colin Brown and Michael Hennessy. Thank you for this amazing opportunity. So at Mr. Turtle, we are tackling the single-use plastic packaging problem. And we have a plastic problem all across the world. But in Slo County, we throw away 280,000 laundry detergent jugs every single year. And, well, by now, we all know this is a massive threat. It's a threat to our environment. It's actually the largest threat to our marine life. And to kind of top all of this off, well, we know it's filling our landfills, and it's even damaging ourselves, the people in this very room, but also the people, obviously, at home. So we then noticed the problem gets even bigger. We're paying for the problem. We have a plastic problem, and we're funding it. So currently, if you buy a laundry detergent jug, 10% of it goes towards freight and shipping. 60% goes towards cleaning products. That's the stuff that you actually want, right? The stuff to clean your clothes. And 30% goes towards the plastic packaging itself. So now, we also noticed, just to kind of make things worse, with SB 54, even though delayed, still coming up, by 2032, there was a request of a 25% cut of plastic in Slo County. So to go ahead and come in and kind of solve that problem, or at least help alleviate it a little bit more, we introduce to you Mr. Turtle. Mr. Turtle is tackling the single-use plastic packaging problem. By placing refill stations in laundry locations and retail stores, we can provide customers with a more accessible, affordable, and sustainable way to get their cleaning products. This is preventing waste before it happens. And we noticed that we needed to make this super easy. So all you have to do is press start on our machine, go ahead and insert your payment, select your product, right? Let's say hand soap, dish soap, laundry detergent, any of that sort, and you are refilling. It's as easy as that. So now you are saving plastic and money throughout the entire process. So now we know what that means for customers, right? It's a more affordable, sustainable, and accessible way for them to get their cleaning products. But it's also for Slo County. For Slo County, well, we are helping them cut single-use plastic. Since we are preventing the creation of plastic, this is helping cut on single-use plastic all through our refill process. On top of this, we're going to be educating people on plastic prevention. Again, refill is prevention. And on top of this, it's supporting small business. We are recent Cal Poly graduates, and we now started this business back in September. We're now starting to grow this business more, and, well, we're excited just in general about this amazing opportunity. But you might be wondering, well, how are we actually tracking all of this? So we have an internet dashboard. All of the information that we gather through the machines is simply just tracked on a back end. We can go ahead and see the transaction data. We safely store everything and obviously make sure that all measures are met. But the better part about this is we can go ahead and track our sustainability measurements. We know how much plastic we are saving. So with that in mind, we currently have 4 refill stations in Slo County. We have one over at the Slo Food Co-op, Harbor Laundry, Swish and Swirl, and over now on the Cal Poly campus for dining. We've dispensed 4,500 fluid ounces, and, well, that's 125 plastic jugs saved. So that's 100 pounds of plastic that we've already saved. And now we propose 10 new locations. So with those 10 new machines placed, we can go ahead and save on 1,750 pounds of plastic every single year and educate 25,000 residents on the purpose of refill and plastic prevention. So where does this money actually go to? If you believe that this is worth investing in, we will go ahead and spend 60% on machine manufacturing, the design behind the machine, 15% on reducing that cost, which is machine R&D, and then 15% for admin and personal. This is local students, local employees that we're going to help push this project further, and then 10% on marketing. So on top of this, Mr. Turtle is obviously in-kind matching that through our labor matching. Once again, 3 co-founders who have all put our own money into this thing and are continuing to work on this at full speed. So we hope you join us at Mr. Turtle to tackle the single-use plastic packaging problem. And just real quick, these machines are built locally. They're built in Pismo Beach. Thank you so much, and thank you for your time.
Oh, sorry, stay up there in case somebody has a question for you. Thank you. Any questions?
Might have a question for them. I did stop and see this at Swish and Swirl on California Boulevard on my way here, since I was uncharacteristically running ahead of schedule. And even took some pictures if anybody wants to see. But my question is actually to staff, and I might have a question for you. But is, Peter, very interesting concept, but this is a private business. And what's our process, if you will, or our thought process behind potentially awarding a grant of public funds to a private business?
So basically, if they're promoting the act of, and this is one of the ones that's super important, they're promoting the act of reuse, refill, and they're doing source reduction. And that's part of our goal under AB 939 and the source reduction recycling element of the SHRE documents. So it does fit in with our goal. It does fit in with our mission and our message. So there's no conflict the way the technical assistance grant is written to be able to provide these funds to a private industry.
But this would be the first one we've done.
It'll be the second one. The first one was Nesteratech, but they were never able to get to a point to prove they're still working on their proof of concept. Okay. So this will be the first one if they've already got a proof of concept and they've already got a machine running and up.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wonder how you decide on the locations.
Totally.
Is it mostly laundromats, or what's your what's the pattern? And also, the list was up there really quickly, but is it a countywide distribution that you're planning?
Yes, so we are definitely targeting Slo County. Since we are local, that is 100% the location that we want to go ahead and continue building this. Once again, we love Slo, we love the environment here, so that's definitely top priority on what we're targeting. For the locations, we are currently focusing on laundry locations and retail stores. So retail stores can go ahead and include grocery stores. Those have seen beyond amazing traction. A lot of people are refilling there. We have real data to back that up, so I'd be happy to share that with you as well. And then laundry rooms, that could be realistically anywhere where someone is doing laundry. So laundromats is the big one in that context, but something that we've now kind of discovered as well, and one of the locations that we proposed is apartment complexes. apartment complexes obviously have that laundry room. We can go ahead and place one of these machines there and then save plastic in the laundry room. Of course. No, amazing question. Thank you.
Jim? Yeah. Okay, I got, how many different products can a dispenser dispense?
Yeah, so the machine is called the Trifecta. Realistically, it just comes down to we dispense three products out of those machines. As of right now, for example, the Slow Food Co-op, the three biggest items that they saw, well, with plastic problem on top of just usage from people, were hand soap, dish soap, and laundry detergent.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you have to refill each dispenser?
Oh, that's an amazing question as well. So it depends on foot traffic. So the Slow Food Co-op, I don't want to share their information publicly, but we refill that machine about every 3 to 4 weeks as of right now.
Hmm. And does it tell you remotely that you're getting low on, and you have that built into
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah. So on top of the amazing engineer that we have, we also have hired students who are helping us with the software side of things. So internet integrated, it pretty much just comes down to, is this machine running low, right? We can go ahead and track all of that information. If a machine is running low, we get a text message. We know that we need to go ahead and go restock that machine.
And basically all you really need is 120 volts to run it. I mean, it's self-sufficient by itself. It doesn't
yes.
need anything else.
Yeah, so the machine is automated and kind of mechanized is the way that we talk about it. So refill obviously exists. But refill as of right now, you have to go in, bring your container, weigh it, tear it, you have to hand pump stuff over, you have to weigh it again, write down on a label what you bought, how much of it that you bought, and it's all based on trust. Now, since we automated the whole process, you simply just press a button, the machine does all of the calculations for you, and it's ready to go. Now you can just take it to the like checkout area, and it just scans. It's like super easy.
So if you want 16 ounces, it's going to give you 16 ounces or whatever it is. That you can you program it for certain amounts or amount, and depending on the volume
yes.
of the vessel you have to refill?
Fair. So it's almost like a gas station. Think of it like, right, you have to fill up your car. You bring your bottle, you go ahead and press the button. It auto-updates how many fluid ounces are going through the machine and then the price. So you can go ahead and keep track of everything. It's 100% honest, 100% transparent. And then you can go ahead and see how much you're buying, how much you're spending, and obviously in the bottle, how much it's being dispensed.
Does it do credit cards also? I mean, I saw the
yes.
phone part
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, so phone was kind of, right, that's a little bit newer at times as
right.
well. It's realistically any contactless payment. So it could be a credit card, a debit
yeah.
card, contactless, anything along those lines.
Yeah, well done. That's cool. Thank you.
So can you tell me how many of these you already have installed?
Yes. Yeah. So we have five locations, four locations here in Slo County. Harbor Laundry is over in Morro Bay. Swish and Swirl is close to the Cal Poly campus. We have partnered now recently, Monday actually, with Cal Poly Campus Dining. So that's over on their campus. And then the Slo Food Co-op. We have a location now also in Silverton, Oregon.
And then I assume your goal is to be a profitable company someday, correct?
It would be, I don't know, it would be nice.
I assume you're not creating this to be a nonprofit, correct?
So we actually have been in talks with that as well. It's definitely a kind of a furthering on conversation. As of right now, we are a for-profit business, so we are a LLC incorporated in California.
Okay. So when you install one of these, let's say at an average traffic area for yourselves, your return for your investment, are you looking at multiple years, or is this something that you could be funding more machines through your additional business?
Yes, exactly. So that's kind of the beauty about that as well. So our machine has a payback period right now of 5 to 10 months, depending on size of the location. Then realistically, anything past that 5 month mark or that 10 month mark would be additional profit. We can go ahead and take that money and then go ahead and build more of these machines. So for example, if we get this money today, we can build 10 machines. In 5 months, we can go ahead and take the profit off of those machines and continue building more.
Right. Okay. And then a question for staff is, how much do we have in our technical? Are we in a new funding where there's three more again at 10,000?
We actually have $80,000 in the technical assistance grant. We've got two that are carryovers three that are carryovers from previous years. So we still have about another $40,000 in the technical grant fund program. And the assumption is we'll come back in and we'll fund again, because it's awkward because it runs a 2-year cycle, but our grant funding, our budget is a 1-year cycle.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Can I do. Thank you. This is quite an endeavor that you're embarking on, yes. And one that's greatly appreciated, especially the one in Morro Bay. So thank you. I do have some questions. What type of container are you recommending? Do people just bring one that they already have, or do you have a specific one?
Yeah, so for the slideshow that we kind of talk about is, right, your old laundry detergent container. Mm-hmm. Realistically, the way that we picture it is you can go ahead and bring any container. So we've talked with kind of the general public and figured out what people like to bring. People have brought 7-Up bottles and their old laundry detergent jug and now recently a paper bag. And I don't know. So slowly as we're learning through this process, right, since we are a relatively newer business, we find out more amazing stories as well. But yeah, the general process is bring any container.
And what products are these? Are they manufactured here as well?
No, so that's also a great question. So we partner with Wallowa Valley Cleaning Products. It is a company in Oregon. They are plant-based, now recently have organic certification, high efficiency, and we try to pick like something that is like 100% just the best way. So they had the same mission, partnered with us, and now they are thinking same thing as us. How can we save the environment? They noticed that traditional cleaning products are just bad. I don't know. They don't work well either, is kind of what we're slowly finding out. So we noticed that we needed a liquid detergent, liquid cleaning products, and they've helped us with that partnering.
Yeah. Did you, I'm assuming that you tried sourcing somebody here, but just didn't find someone
so,
locally?
Yeah, so we are looking into local sourcing a little bit more as well. As of right now, realistically, any liquid good can be placed in the machine. We're starting with cleaning products, but we've obviously also had people reach out about placing other things in the machine. Mm-hmm. So this can go ahead and dispense a whole bunch of like right liquid goods. So this could be genuinely used across a lot of different fields. So we're talking with some local people on that right now.
Great. And then my last question would be is what about a monthly type program? Could you do that? Are you equipped to do something like that now where, you know, somebody, you pay a monthly fee?
Like a leasing almost?
No, like to get product in your container. So in other words, you could pay a monthly, you know, fee and then just continue. Because some people are going to go through, like a large family may go through more detergent than a single person.
No, that's
person,
fair. Yeah.
Right? Just a question think about.
No, 100%. I know that we're taking notes, so that's something we'll write down. So, yeah, it's definitely relatively a newer business as well, right? So still continuing to learn, and we'd love to just hear feedback from anyone here or anybody at home. So that's an amazing comment. We'll definitely look into that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, in terms of growing the business or where, and you've kind of selected these next locations, because when I stopped at the Swish and Swirl and talked to the owners, they were interested in having one in their Atascadero location.
Yes.
And so is that normally one where, you know, you install it, that you don't charge them anything, they don't charge you anything? The other question, though, is I noticed this was only a one-item dispenser, in a sense. There's only one thing, which is laundry detergent. But they also had plastic little cups to dispense it into, which would kind of defeat the one, replacement.
Just, no, fair. So just to clarify, those are compostable cups. So that is a good question to go ahead and address there. For laundromats like the Swish and Swirl, they wanted a single dispense good. So a slow food co-op requested something where they can go ahead and dispense right laundry detergent, hand soap, dish soap. For a laundromat, since that's where people are doing laundry, they didn't really need those two other items. So then laundry detergent was their main focus. Then they get a single dispenser in that context.
But the basic concept is they don't charge you like space or profit sharing, and you don't charge them anything for installing the thing. It's just
we don't charge for local installs. Again, we're continuing to do this locally. If I have to deliver a machine to San Diego, it might get a little bit more complicated in that context. And once again, something we are kind of discovering a little bit more talking about. For locations such as that, it is amazing for the Swish and Twirl. Just also Derek has just been amazing over there. He has provided us the space for free to go ahead and try building this out more. But we've talked about a contract with him in the future just to go ahead and give him some kickback since he has been such a vital part in like growing this business. In that context, it's probably looking towards a 90-10 percentage split. So he's going to get a 10% kickback for the space that he's giving us.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
I have a couple of questions everyone else has done. So what is the price of your product right now per ounce?
Yeah, so it depends on if it's bulk or single serve. If it is single serve, such as in a laundromat, if somebody dispenses one load of laundry detergent, that could be placed by the location. So location could go ahead and price that anywhere from a quarter to about a dollar. We usually recommend the price. For over at the Slow Food Co-op, what we're currently doing is we're trying to keep that price affordable. Since we buy the cleaning products in bulk, we can go ahead and pass on those savings to our customers. So for laundry detergent over there, it's 25 cents per fluid ounce. It is 19 cents for hand soap and 16 cents for dish soap. So trying to keep the whole process affordable as well as much as we can.
And at the co-op, do you do some sort of, I hate to call it a kickback, but some sort of
yes.
Associated fee?
So this was actually an interesting conversation on its own. We found out that grocery stores have usually about a margin of 1% to 3% on cleaning products, which we thought was just horrible. So we ended up talking with the people over at the Slow Food Co-op, and we were like, what's a good percent for you? And usually they are looking for something that is more 35%. So we talked with them and we ended up being able to negotiate that percentage for them, since we also want to go ahead and support their business and keep them growing.
So at this point, you're paying the co-op 35%?
Yes. So we're paying them 30% or 35% of the revenue sold off of the products.
Okay.
Yes.
And then this is somewhat of a question for Seth, but also Fear. So I'm not sure what we're grant funding. At one point it says we're grant funding 10 new refill stations, but in another place it says we're kind of like granting the whole operation. And so I'm wondering for staff and for you, what's the performance criteria for us for the grant in the end?
Totally.
Our performance criteria is that they place 10 stations and we see the activity from these 10 stations and see what kind of productivity they produce. So they've committed to 10 stations. That's what we want to see as staff.
So we wouldn't pay them until they actually had built out 10 stations.
Correct.
And delivered a report.
Correct. It's a reimbursement grant.
Yes. Yep.
It's
okay.
It's not a payment program.
Okay. And then what this has to do with sort of the match. What do you guys have a thought of what the Right, I assume you do know what the cost of each individual, what the cost of a station is.
Yes, yeah. So we definitely have that price. I know that this is also a public meeting, so just for the sake of, I don't know, kind of business negotiations, I'd be happy to talk with you kind of off of microphone for that, and also share that information with anybody here. But yes, there is technically a price of the machine behind that as well. For the contribution matching, we are looking at labor. We're all working on this full time. Right, 40 hours per week, most of the time more. And then on top of this, we currently put our own money into this business. So, kind of money we made throughout college, kind of pushing that back into the business, hoping that this picks up, grows, and ultimately succeeds.
All right, so let me refer this back to staff. Have you guys investigated that this is, in fact, a match on the machines, that the machines are somewhere
we've not gotten into the actual cost of machine with them on this. As we get going forward into this, if you do indeed approve this, then we get more involved with how aggressively we go after what their contributions are.
But what the performance criteria is. All right.
We are definitely transparency focused as well. We notice that sustainable businesses are slowly starting to take advantage of people, and just purely based off of the fact of, like, we notice this plastic problem, we want to see if we could do something about it. The main thing that we want to do with this grant is kind of see if we can continue this vision, continue building this out, and just really tackle the single-use plastic packaging problem.
Okay. My last question has to do with labeling and, you know, all the whole consumer protection stuff. So
yes.
Right now you have people using paper cups, sounds like. How do you deal with sort of like the safety labeling and that? Yeah, I noticed the glass, you had glass, you had Mr. Turtle on it, but I didn't see anything that would say ingredients are, what to do if swallowed, that kind of stuff.
So, no, that's a good question, too. We don't want people to ingest this. We do have the correct labels on the machines for that. So there is like a do not eat anything along those lines. I don't know how enticing laundry detergent is, but it could be. So we did cover that basis. As for ingredients of the products themselves, we noticed that we can go ahead and place ingredients on the machine, and then when people refill into their own containers, right, that is not going to be a receptacle of ours, so to speak. So the ingredients are there. We have QR codes set up. People can go ahead and take the ingredients home, take photos. Realistically, the spout is here, and then the ingredients are right behind the spout. So you can go ahead and read up on all of that as well.
And does that meet the Consumer Protection Agency's requirements?
Yes. So it's based off of the fact of, right, making sure that the right precautions are on the machine. So, right, making sure that the ingredients are there and stuff like that. Yeah, just so it is visible to the consumer buying it.
All right. Yes. I'm glad to hear that's true. All right.
Jim, I had a question.
Okay.
Follow on from yours. So, I mean, we're talking about 10 stations, but in the attachment, it only lists six under the tag grant expenses. It only lists six for a total of $6,000, and then other expenses being marketing, payroll, et cetera. So, I mean, are we talking 10 stations or six stations for $10?
We are talking 10 stations in six locations. That might be where the confusion came from there.
Oh, okay.
It's an amazing point for us as well to go ahead and address there, but we can go ahead and provide like a more detailed version. So some of those locations with multiple machines.
No, that answers it right there. Thank you.
Perfect.
Any other questions? So with that, I'll bring it back for comments and or a motion.
I'll kick it off. I think you guys have come up with something very clever and creative.
Thank you.
It falls within the scope and ambit of our program, and I would be supporting this today. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I guess I still have a little bit of reservation about basically, you know, funding a private enterprise like this, but I mean, it's very intriguing, and Mr. Cron, you're saying, I mean, this fits within our mission. Reducing reuse, and these are kind of experiments on our part.
Right, it is source reduction, and so that's one of the things. Once again, we get back to the basic premise that the best waste is the waste that's never generated.
Right, and this is part of our overall plan that we submit to CalRecycle in terms of source reduction.
Yeah, correct. So basically, what this looks, so this is something that we would add as a line item to our electronic annual report.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
I'll just comment. You know, I'm not a big fan of our technical assistance program in general, and especially going for private business, but that's our issue, not yours, so I won't hold that against you guys. So I will be supporting it.
Yeah, Jim, I was going to say, too, again, this has a lot of opportunity, I think, you know, not only for, you know, the cleaning products, but any kind of dispensable kind of a product, you know, even put it in the courthouses, you know, for potty mouth, you can, you know, go right out there. And I think it's a great idea. You know, maybe make them smaller so they fit in the corner a little better. But, no, I'll be supporting too.
Thank you.
I think this is a very interesting idea. It's, I think it's worth trying, and I think it'd be a good investment. I would like to request some kind of report at the end so that we have a compilation of all of the plastic that has been saved. Mm-hmm. That would make me feel really good about supporting this. So thank you.
Of course. Yeah, we'll be happy to provide that. Thank you.
I'd like to also add that I like the educational component of this as well, and I'm hoping that that will be a part of the rollout as well.
100%, yeah. It's definitely part of, like, the marketing program that we have, so we'll continue to educate.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion if you're ready.
Sure.
Okay. Authorize the executive director to award $10,000 in grant funds to Mr. Turtle to build 10 new refill stations for cleaning products across San Luis Obispo County and foster source reduction in the waste stream.
Second. We have a motion and a second. If we could have roll call, please.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Paulding?
Yep.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. McCory Driscoll?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
And Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You were expecting a mascot or something?
No.
Good job answering the question. How about a word I got?
And with that, we'll move on to item 9, which is a technical assistance grant application for the Cayuga Sanitary District.
Thank you. So the technical assistance grant for the Cayuga Sanitary District, the recommendation is to authorize the executive director to award $10,000 in grant funds to the Cayuga Sanitary District to facilitate the definition between landfill and recycling streams by providing large, clearly marked containers, recycling containers into their system. They're going to be purchasing the garbage containers. We're going to be purchasing the recycling containers. That's going to be our contribution. So it stays once again within our scope. I don't see anybody from. I'm sorry. Hey, how are you? So yeah, you're up. So missed you over there in the corner. Sorry. So on December 16th, the IWM received a technical assistance grant for the Cayuga Sanitary District with the following project description. The community of Cayuga is currently struggling with damaged, outdated, and insufficient trash and recycling containers. As a part of the CSD's commitment to complying with SB 1383, the district would like to facilitate the definition between landfill and recycling streams by providing large, clearly marked recycling containers. This will assist in the reduction of little and recyclable material, litter, sorry, and recycling materials from going into the landfill by making recycling as convenient as disposal. This program looks to increase public recycling and reducing litter. I got little and then litter in there. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate this opportunity to plead our case for your TAG grant. Oh, I should have introduced myself. I'm sorry. My name is Gail Good. I'm with Cayuga Sanitary District. I am the acting district manager. So the community of Cayucas is currently struggling with damaged, outdated, and insufficient trash and recycling containers. I don't know how often you all visit Cayucas, but it is a sight, especially at the end of a weekend. Receptacles are frequently reached capacity days before they're scheduled to be emptied. We have increased our pickup times with Mission Country Disposal. However, they don't collect on the weekends. So by Monday morning, this is what we see. The mismatched receptacles lack labels and do not encourage sorting of recyclables. As you can see, many receptacles are damaged, missing pieces. They're exposed to the elements and animals and are very unsightly. Some residents in our area have taken matters into their own hands and on busier weekends are putting out red garbage cans to help with the overflow. Unfortunately, those do have a tendency to roll away in the wind and share the garbage with the rest of the community. And with our proximity to the ocean, we're trying to eliminate that from happening, keep everything contained, and not go into the ocean and the waterways. Yeah, that one speaks for itself. So we are attempting to comply with SB 1383, increase the recycling rates in our community, keeping garbage off the streets and beaches, and being compatible with Mission Country Disposal's ability to service our community. These are an image of the Big Belly containers that we are planning to use. We also have a colorful wrap planned for them that will show the trash and recycling streams much more clearly. I'm sure you've all seen the lovely containers that are in downtown SLO. These are the same containers, so we're after the same results. So the containers are right around $1,900 per unit, plus the tax, shipping, and wrap. This grant will enable us to purchase right around 5 of the units. The Cayuga Sanitary District Board has committed to purchasing 20 units altogether, so this is going to be a part of that. Thank you so much for your consideration for this. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Uh, I have a single comment. This has been an issue that Cayucos has been dealing with since I was working with Waste Connections, better part of 6 or 7 years ago. The containers that they currently have on the street were purchased in 1994. To give you an idea of the date of some of the recycling containers. So I can't overemphasize that this is ideally something that would benefit not just the community Cayucos, but also bringing forward our messaging on recycling in public spaces.
So any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Are you going to be able to put a label on these big bellies that say, courtesy of the Integrated Waste Management?
That is a great question. We have not yet determined the signage and what it's going to look like, but we will certainly take that into consideration.
So I do have any other questions first?
Okay. I want to make a comment.
No. Well, I have a question. Rather than comment. So this directs it. So are you increasing the number of containers? Is this just purely a replacement of existing containers?
Right now it is Well, the recycling containers are going to be new. I don't know if you noticed in those pictures, a lot of the cans were single just for trash. So we are definitely increasing our recycling capabilities and capacity. That last picture that was shown, there is no recycling container, and that is actually our first location that we're going to put new containers in.
So
yes, we are increasing the number of recycling containers.
All right. So for our purposes, we're paying for, are there at least 5 new recycling containers?
Yes.
Okay. My second question is that this $1,900, somewhat common, $1,900 is just crazy to me.
It sounds like a lot, I know, but it actually was less than a lot of the standard type that you see in urban areas. We had estimates between, I think the cheapest one we looked at was $1,500, and that was not ideal. The capacity wasn't there. These big bellies are 50-gallon. A lot of public or urban garbage cans are around 35, and we are definitely looking at highest capacity possible because of the use that we see.
Is there some internal technology we're not seeing here, like, how it dumps or something? Because, like you're getting at, you're talking $1,900 for a rectangle of plastic.
I know. It seems
is
like
there
lot.
Something
they
inside?
They do have push pedals on the bottom, so they're hands-free, which is nice. And they are warrantied for 5 years, which a lot of them aren't. They are supposed to last us a long time. That's our hope. But yes, when you look at the cost, it does sound like a lot. But like I said, as we've been looking at different areas and what's out there, this is middle of the road cost-wise. Some of them what we were looking at were around $2,500 and up for urban containers.
Any other questions with that? I'll bring it back. Oh, sorry.
I might have missed it, but what was your total expenditure on these? That you're looking
at? Our overall the entire program?
That you're replacing.
Right now, we're right at $49,000.
All right, with that, I'll bring it back for comment. And
I'd just like to comment that we really don't have a trash problem in Cayugas except on the weekends, holidays, and sometimes during the week. We also have and Gil failed to mention, we have a very large population of seagulls. And they're required to remove the obstacle from, or whatever they're looking at, from the trash can. And they have to sort it out into, as we do, the edible waste versus the trash. But they seem to leave it on the sidewalk they don't take it down to the 1383, whatever it is. But the reason I mention that is these are closed containers, and that solves that problem for us.
My only comment would be that we need Cal Poly students to invent a cheaper trash receptacle.
And with that, I say you stole one of my comments. Yeah, that's save a lot more plastic by selling more of these. So my comment here is I too struggle a little bit with our tag grant, but this to me clearly meets the intent of what we're trying to accomplish. I always feel it could be a little bit clearer exactly what we expect, but I'm more than willing to support this.
So yeah. You may be shocked, but yeah, once again, I'm not happy with the tag grant process, and I'll just explain why. Is all of our jurisdictions have needs, and we can all find real needs. So, you know, there's nothing personal against Cayucas, but I mean, kind of my city, Pismo, every Saturday, Sunday, we're in the same situation, I'm sure you are, right? Mm-hmm. And I know we as an agency have a surplus of funds, but I think we need to find a better way to distribute them fairly, because more or less, if you're aware of our process, you can take advantage of it, but if you don't, you're out of luck. And like my city, we came and got $10,000. You know why? Because I went back and hammered them and said, you know what? We've got money left over. Come and apply. And that's not fair to the people that aren't applying for these grants. So, like I said, I'm not holding it against you. You meet our current process that I don't agree with, but I will support it because you're falling within the lines of it.
Thank you. Second.
We have a motion.
We have a motion and a second.
Was that a motion?
Sure.
Okay.
Hey,
we've got
him on record.
Well,
I'll
second the second.
Okay. No, I think.
I'll
second.
I think Jimmy's
second.
Oh, Jimmy's beat me to it. Okay.
So
forget it.
So we have comments at this point. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I got a little confused there. That was wild. I also concur with Mr. Newton. We struggle in Morro Bay. In fact, we just, I think, I'm not sure if we looked into this actually, and we're looking, I think our program's about 60,000. So I was just curious. That's why I asked. It is very expensive to replace these. And, you know, we're also trying to find ways because we have some trash cans that have beautiful artwork on them. I don't know if you're all aware of that, but lots of artists in our community, I think they might be older than 1994, actually. But we're looking to reutilize some of those as well. So, I think it's something that I'm curious to see if we actually looked into this as well. Thank you.
That we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Cron, I was wondering if you'd like to clarify how this falls into the budget. So this is not from the excess reserve funds. This is a budgeted item. Of course, it's part of the budget that your board allocates, and so your point is well understood. But I did want to clarify.
Yeah, this is a single line item in our budget, the technical assistance grant, and we've got $80,000 within that. That's what we approved for last year. So while your message is very clear about the need to take a look at the technical assistance grant, we will probably bring that back at the budget ad hoc.
Question for Peter then. Do we advertise to different agencies that we have grants like this?
What we do is we reach out to them in the LTF and we let them know that that's available to the local task force.
With that, we will have roll call.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. McCory Driscoll?
Yes.
And Mr. Guthrie?
Yes, as well.
This motion passes.
Thank you very much.
All right, and with that, we'll move on.
So it's that time here again. The creation of an ad hoc budget committee on item number 10. The recommendation is that we create an ad hoc budget committee and select members to participate pursuant to section 2 of the IWMA rules of procedure. Every year at this time, we create a budget ad hoc committee. With this committee meets, we review the budget and items such as the technical assistance grant, and we bring back a preliminary budget in the May meeting. And so at this point in time, what I'm looking for is four, depending upon the board's choice for budget ad hoc.
And I will jump in here first and say that since I'm likely or unfortunately going to be president next next year, I would like to sit on this committee. And with that, I'll open it up to the rest of the committee.
Well, I'd like to say that I would not like to be on this committee, but I think that Mr. Burpo would be a great candidate on that committee.
Well, thank you, Jan. I have been on the committee before, and I actually would like to be on the committee again. So.
I'm going to see, we have one more opening, or we have one more victim. I'm
not
sure which.
Are you
it
looking
is.
For three or four? What would your preference be, you think?
Three is what I would expect, yeah.
Okay, I'll be happy. I've done it before, too, with Charles, so it's not a problem. We can do that.
Just as any other nominee, anybody dying to do another committee?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
No more.
With that, I will move that the ad hoc committee will be myself, Mr. Hammond, and Mr. Burpo.
Second. Oh, I think she beat me.
I'll second that.
And the second is Board Member Marks. So with that, we can have roll call, please.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Burpo?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Ms. McCory Driscoll?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
This motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Did you call Hammond on that? I don't recall.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
This motion passes.
Does anyone else feel left out?
I know.
All right. So with that, we'll move on to welcoming Director Cindy Edwards. And a resolution in recognition of Director Laurel Barton.
Go ahead and read that.
You want me to read this? Okay.
Let's see. You have to read it.
Honoring San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority Board Member Laura Barton, who served faithfully and provided leadership and commitment as a member of the Board of Directors of San Luis Obispo County IWMA. And welcome, Cindy, belatedly. I guess. All right, you know. We even let you vote and everything. Okay. Do we need a motion here? Okay.
Do we need a motion?
So it is a resolution of the board. So
okay. Right.
I'd like to move approval of the recognition of Laurel Barton and the welcome of Cindy Edwards.
Second. If we could have a roll call, please.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Burpo?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
I guess yes. Thank you.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. McCory Driscoll?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
This motion passes.
And with that, we'll move on to item 12, a resolution 20.
Are you leading or am I leading this one? Okay, you can turn
okay.
it over to me. Perfect.
A resolution declaring 870 Los Osos Street as exempt surplus property and directing staff to proceed with sale.
Okay, so what the recommendation is adopt resolution number 2025-0302, which A, declares the property at 870 Oso Street as exempt surplus property under Surplus Land Act, B, reviews and finds the declaration is not a project under CEQA, C, adopts policies and procedures related to the sale of Oso Street property, and D, authorizes and directs staff to take all necessary and appropriate steps to dispose of the surplus property in accordance with the resolution. So 870 Oso Street is currently owned by the Integrated Waste Management Authority. The Oso Street property, which has been occupied by the IWMA since 2000, was first leased from County Pension Trust. The IWMA purchased the property in August of 20, 2015. The Oso Street property has served for the primary office for the IWMA for the past 25 years. With the increase in staffing driven by state-mandated programs such as SB 1383, the IWMA needs to explore options for accommodations that would allow staff to work in a single building. The Board of Directors formed an ad hoc committee to investigate various options, and under their direction, the office building at 555 Choro, Unit D, was identified as a potential location. The IWMA purchased the Choro Street property on October 16th of 2024, and the final move into Choro Street property was conducted in February. The Oso Street property is now vacant. Staff recommends that the Board of Directors begin the process of selling the Oso Street property as a state public agency. The IWMA is subject to Surplus Land Act, California Government Code 54220. The Surplus Land Act requires that the public agency's governing body first find and declare that the property for sale is surplus property. The Oso Street property is under one half an acre and is therefore exempt from the Surplus Land Act under surplus land under Surplus Land Act. Because the Oso Street property is now vacant and no longer needed for the operation of the agency, staff recommends that the Board of Directors declare the Oso Street property as surplus property. The resolution also concludes that the declaration is not a project under CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. Additionally, to ensure that the sale is fully compliant with applicable law, staff recommends that the Board of Directors adopt the attached procedures regarding the sale of the Oso Street property and authorize the Executive Director to take the appropriate action in accordance with procedures to sell the Oso Street property. And with that, it gets back to the resolution to. Thank you, Dan.
I'll just add on. So if I can draw your attention to both the staff report and the attached procedures for the disposition of the property. I know that there have been some questions that I've answered about why did the IWMA move in the first place? And I do want to highlight that it was because the IWMA had been paying additional rent for the office space across the driveway there. So there were additional staffing needs already in existence. Your board formed an ad hoc committee to explore different options, including, for example, staying at the current location and continuing to rent. Your board approved the purchase of the 555 Choro Street property. And here what we're doing is, again, these three things that I didn't mean for Mr. Cron to have to read the whole thing, so I apologize for that. But the three things are that you're making a legally required declaration that the building is surplus, and the building is now completely vacant. All of the operations have moved to this building at 555 Choro Street. So you're making that declaration. And for those of you who, with your home jurisdictions, may have gone through the affordable housing component of the Surplus Land Act, because the parcel is less than half an acre, it is considered exempt from that requirement that it be held and offered for an additional 60 days. So that's what that all of that extra legal language is doing. And then I think importantly for you, for your alternates, and for the public, to know what exactly this process is going to be like, we have prepared, as Exhibit B, specific procedures for the disposition of the property. So what that will look like is that it will be placed for bid and offers will be received. And then there will also be an independent appraisal of the property, and the appraisal amount will be the minimum acceptable bid, at least under these procedures. There are two things that I want to highlight here, two very important things. The first is that there is flexibility for this board if it finds that it's in the best interest of the agency or it requires there's some legal requirement to sell below the appraised value. Your board has the opportunity under these procedures to consider that after all the bids come in. So you will receive all of that information. And then very, very, very importantly, I want to highlight one thing that this resolution does not do, is that it does not authorize the final sale of the property. What I mean by that is that what it authorizes is for Peter to go out, work with a broker, get the appraisal, list it for bid, receive all the bids, do everything all the way up until your board has to consider and approve the final sale of the property. So you will receive, you're not voting to sell the property right now. You're declaring it surplus land. You're approving procedures for that sale. and your board will receive the final, thank you so much, the final purchase terms and price once that's available.
Yeah, I have a question. So we're talking about bidders, but I'm wondering, is it going to be listed on the MLS? Is it going to be up for sale like a regular piece of property, or because it's a governmental piece of property?
So I think there's a requirement that it's listed on MLS for at least 30 days. And so that's why when we start working with the broker, that they will be in charge of making sure that we stay in compliance with these parts of the regulations.
Okay.
So public versus private property is a little bit different on the way things are sold, other than what you just went through. But I mean, as far as listings and things.
So the property will be listed the way that it normally would be. That's because you want to get the best price for the property. Right. It's not going to be like federal, you know, chairs from office buildings where it's just on an auction website off to the side. It will be listed the same way that any other property is, because your agency's interest is getting the highest amount for the sale. In addition to that, these procedures are sort of in addition to normally. Again, if you're selling a house or you're selling a commercial building, you have the seller would sort of consider the whole scope of offers, and you can talk to them, and there may be personal considerations, there may be other considerations, but because you are a public entity, your primary overriding main consideration will be the offered purchase price.
So, Daniel, is there anything on the buyer's side that they have to be worried about as far as purchasing a public property like this?
Because I don't advise the buyers, I'm not sure that I can answer that in an exhaustive way. That'll probably come up during the selling process.
Probably through the realtor anyway.
Yep. And that's right. That's right.
Investigation. Okay. Thank you.
So yeah, I wondered. So we're talking about authorizing Peter as the executive director to engage a broker or his real estate agent. So that would entail a commission, I assume. Do we have to also then approve that, or is that part of, did we just authorize him to sign up with an agency, or?
So because this is part of your, because this is part of your budget, you can authorize your executive director to work with the broker. I believe the intent right now is to work with the same broker that worked with your agency to purchase this building.
That would be my recommendation at this time.
Okay, and we're assuming then that though the broker would have knowledge of how to sell a public building, especially if, as Director Hammond was asking, you know, we expect them to know what the rules of the road are so they can advise buyers of those. And I assume as part of that, from our perspective, we would state that this is like an as-is building? Or would that be something we'd have to negotiate in the sense of the buyer says, well, I want to buy it for $900,000, but I want you to fix the stairs or something.
Right. So those are all details that we'll work out with the broker.
Okay.
I'm not sure that I can answer them now.
I was just wondering, public property, it's not always an as-is sale. There couldn't be negotiation on the whole thing.
Yep. So okay. That'll all be factored into what your board considers.
Okay. Thank you. And I also wanted to add, though, that I saw in the financials that we got our security deposit back on the portion of the Tease building that we rented. So good job, you guys on the staff, on keeping it clean.
We got the carpet cleaned in spite of what they thought we were going to get done.
So I do have a couple of questions as well. So when you say that it's in our budget, I'm kind of confused by that, because certainly we don't know the selling price. So how are we budgeting for this?
It's not in our budget. It will go back into our budget, I think, is what we're at.
I realize the funds will become available.
Yeah.
Okay. Since it's not in our budget, do we have to do an RFP? I can see, well, certainly something that we have budgeted for, an RFP for the realtor, for the broker, because we have had that questioned.
That's a good question. I don't have an answer on that one.
It's up to your board on how you'd like to proceed. You do not have to go out for an RFP for professional services, and real estate services are included in that. It's up to your board on how you'd like to proceed on that.
I mean, if you wanted to, if for the sake of transparency, we could bring it back to the EC and have the EC issue an RFP.
I'm sorry. The executive committee.
Sorry. Too many acronyms.
Yeah, way too many. I certainly don't want to delay it, but and I'll be interested to hear what the rest of the board thinks. So, and I know I should know this, but when we're looking at a commission here, how much money are we hiring this broker for, roughly? I mean,
well, that'd be part of the negotiation. We'd want to talk to them about what, you know, what their commissions are. I mean, there's a number of different brokers out there that we could actually solicit and work with. So if you're more comfortable taking it back to the EC, we're talking about a May 1st start date.
Could I suggest that I'm curious, though. I mean, there are some things where you don't have to do a formal RFP, but we tell you, go talk to three brokers and come back with an answer. That way you know if you go to the first one who sold us this building and they say 6%, you've talked to somebody else and they go 4, you know, then you'll...
I can certainly do that for you.
Rather than us going a completely formal RFP process, which I would be concerned as well as would delay, because delay is cost some frequently.
Isn't that how I did it with Charo also? I think you were talking with a group, and then you finalized on one.
Yeah, correct. And so I got the one that gave us the best deal.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I would think that we direct Peter to, you know, contact at least three brokers and select the best one.
Yeah, I would be much more comfortable with that, too, because since we are negotiating, then I do think we have to have something of a process here.
Certainly.
All right.
We can do that. So, but you can make that as part of the recommendation.
Yes. So, directors, what you can do with that consideration is to adopt the staff recommendation with direction to Mr. Cron to engage in what essentially an informal RFP process with at least three additional, with at least three bidders.
So we could say, you know, that we do A, B, and C, but that under D, we want him to contact at least three brokers and select one to carry out this process. Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. This is somewhat of a side issue. I just want to say that it's an old building. It was built in the 20s, but it is not historical. I've checked with the Cultural Heritage Commission. It's not on our master list. It's not a contributing property. So you're not going to have to go through the process with the City of San Luis Obispo that would be necessary under other circumstances. So it's
outside of the business.
It's clean. It's ready to go. Yeah. Thanks.
So with that, I'll see if Mr. Burbeau would do the motion.
Yes, I would move that the board adopt Resolution 2025-3-2, which would declare the property surplus, review it and find that it's not a project under CEQA, adopt policies and procedures related to the sale, and authorize direct staff to take the necessary appropriate steps to dispose of the property, including the contact of at least three brokers and the selection of a broker for the purposes of the sale.
And I'll second that. So we have a motion and a second. If we could have a roll call.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. McCory Driscoll?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Can we take a brief break before the closed session?
Okay. So with that, do you want to make the announcement about the closed session, and then we'll take a break for that?
Director Marv, if it's okay, we'll go to a public comment on the closed session items, and then you can adjourn and reconvene in 5 minutes.
Okay. So with that, I will ask for public comment on the. Where is closed. It on here? Yeah. On the closed session. There is none. And so I'll close that, and we will take, so we'll take a 5 minute break and then come back to closed session. Thank you.
Clear the room of all non-board members.
So I'm reconvening the IWMA board, and we'll have a report out on closed session from our attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. The board exits closed session with no reportable action.
And with that, I'll go to any comments by the board. Seeing none, I'll adjourn the meeting.